Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, here with my co-host Anthony McCarthy, whose show airs every Friday afternoon from 5 to 7 p.m. here on WEAA. We're going to take a look at the issue of what's going on in the world of treating breast cancer. The latest guidelines have come out that say it is no longer necessary for women over the age of 40 to have yearly mammograms. It's caused quite a controversy and some confusion on the part of most of us in the world who constantly see the benchmark of what is proper procedure or not changing. And then there are also questions of why these changes took place. What does the research really tell us? And many people are arguing this will have more to do with health, how healthcare money is spent, than it does our well-being. And then there's the larger question about research and why the money for cancer research is not going into the factors that may actually cause breast cancer, why America has such a high percentage of breast cancer in our society. We're going to tackle those and more at 410-319-8888 with our three guests. We're joined in studio right now by Dr. Naji Khoury, who is Director of Breast Imaging at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Dr. Khoury, good to have you in the studio with us.
Thank you.
Shortly, Dr. Gene Warner, who is director of the Tiana O'Brien Center for Women's Imaging at Mercy Medical Center, will be joining us. She's coming up and parking her car now. And P.J. Hamill is with us by phone, who is a writer, author of Breast Cancer Survivor. And P.J. Hamill, welcome. Good to have you with us as well.
Thank you very much.
410-319-8888 is the number here. And welcome, all of you, to join us here. I know many of you are kind of wrestling with this question, and we would love to have your thoughts here on the airwaves with us. 410-319-8888 and or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. PJ, I know you only have a few minutes with us, maybe 10 minutes or so, let me start with you. And as a breast cancer survivor, and I say in my household, we're the same, luckily. And but I'd like to talk about your initial reaction to this and your kind of confusion and about where this all stands.
My initial reaction was, whoa, that's not a good idea, because I happen to be the one woman that they say would be saved by the 1,900 extra, you know, women getting mammograms. I was diagnosed at age 47 with this cancer that had already spread and was treated, and now it's 8 years later and I'm fine. Had I gone by the guidelines as they presently stand, I probably would not be talking to you because I'd be dead. So personally, I felt that, oh, this isn't a good idea. But then I stepped back and looked at the job of the task force was to collect and analyze data and to make recommendations based on that data. And that's exactly what they did. You know, it's the government's job to formulate public policy, and that's what they're trying to do. And the fact that I don't like the policy doesn't mean that they didn't do a good job developing it. I choose not to follow these guidelines. I'm going to tell every woman I know not to follow them, but I think they did do their job.
So, I'm going to ask our physicians to jump in, too. Talk about what that seems like a contradiction. I don't agree with the guidelines, and many people don't, because I've known more than one woman in her 40s who has been saved by early detection, but you won't pay attention to those guidelines. What does that mean in reality?
It means just what it says. I'm going to continue to get mammograms. Of course, I would anyway, having been a survivor, but I'll continue to tell the women I work with who are over 40, you should get a mammogram every year, because I think it's worth it. The task force said, well, look at all the pain and suffering women go through with, you know, false positives and needless biopsies and things like that. And I just think it's not apples, and it's apples and oranges. How can you compare a few days of anxiety with being dead? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
And let me turn to our physicians to kind of respond before you have to go, PJ. And Jim Warner, welcome. Good to have you with us in the studio.
Thank you.
Let me start with you. For Mercy Hospital, director of the Tiana O'Brien Center for Women's Imaging at Mercy Hospital, Mercy Medical Center. So, I mean, how do you respond? How do you both respond to your patients this way?
Well, I respond to my patients as an advocate for them, because it's different when you're looking at the data as a public health expert and you're trying to make policy recommendations versus looking at the data and knowing that the mammography screening trials that we have shown that mortality is decreased in women who are screened for breast cancer. And when you're having that one-on-one discussion with a patient, obviously her life is very important to her. And we have studies that unequivocally show that this screening test does decrease the mortality rate from breast cancer. And so I would counsel a woman that if you're interested in doing whatever you can to prevent yourself from unnecessarily dying from this disease, mammography screening should be a part of what you do.
So, but before we turn to Najee Khoury and back to PJ before she has to leave, I want to be clear about what you're saying. I mean, so are you suggesting that even though the data may show that having a yearly mammogram may not decrease the numbers of detections, breast cancer, or decrease the mortality, that you would recommend doing it?
It does decrease the mortality.
So what is your
breast cancer?
So what's your analysis of the report then?
My analysis of the report is that the report really didn't tell us anything that we didn't already know.
Okay.
The report told us that there is a mortality decrease by doing mammography screening. Women who are screened have a lower rate of dying from breast cancer.
Right.
And they don't dispute that in this report. The analysis is that in a certain age group of women that you have to do more screening in order to save a life. And we've always known that because breast cancer is less common in women in their 40s. The number one risk factor for breast cancer is being a woman. The number two risk factor is aging. Mm-hmm. So we know that as you get older, you're more likely to have the possibility of developing breast cancer. And what the task force did was basically calculate through computer models how many women needed to be screened in the 40s to save a life, how many needed to be screened in the 50s to save a life, and came up with a recommendation saying that because the number is one life saved for every 1,900 women in their 40s versus one life saved for approximately every 1,300 women in their 50s, that is enough of a difference to not make a recommendation for across-the-board mammography screening for women in their 40s. So to me, it did not tell me anything I didn't already know.
But certainly Najee Khoury has caused a lot of confusion with
yes.
women.
Yes, certainly. I think it's very important that we talk specifically about first women in their 40s, where the recommendation for mammographic screening has been pulled out as a recommendation. And just to give you an idea of the scope of the problem, if we look at all of the breast cancers that develop every year in the United States, approximately 18% are in women in their 40s. So it is not rare at all, whereas
18% of breast cancers are women in their 40s.
In their 40s. Okay. And, for example, under 40 is less than 5%. That's why we're not screening that age category.
But what's the percentage in the 50s?
It's about 21%.
Oh, so there isn't this huge, significant difference between the 40s and the 50s as far as the percentage of breast cancer.
And the task force reviewed the mortality reduction in women in their 40s, and they quoted a number of 15%, and they said it's the same percentage of mortality reduction for women in their 50s. Now, 15% is about the lowest of any reported study of the benefit of mammography. And it's very important also to look at women who do what they're supposed to do versus women who enter in a study. And here I'm going to talk about, these are controlled trials that they have reviewed, which included a group of women to whom a mammography was recommended. And in the U.S., the compliance, the women who followed, who were part of the study group, are, for example, in the HIP study, 65% of the women did what they were supposed to do, and 35% did not. But you count them all together. From Sweden, where there have been one of the best control trials in the 1970s with follow-up of over 20 years, the mortality reduction in women who did what they were supposed to do, have their mammogram, the mortality reduction was 40%.
Well, you said did what they're supposed to do. That means having a yearly mammogram.
Having those women who did have their mammogram,
right.
mortality reduction. So you know it is very effective and equally effective in women in their 40s.
PJ, do you have a thought on this before I know you have to run? What you just heard?
Just generally, I think it's the government's job to look at society as a whole, not individuals. But when they come out with statements, the task force, like you're going to get 80% of the benefit for half the cost, that leaves you with that 20% of the benefit you don't get, and those 20% are all women that die. I mean, their mothers, their sisters, their wives, they're leaving children, and it's just, it breaks my heart. I just can't, I can't endorse these guidelines that, that result in something like that.
PJ, I know you have to run, but I really we look forward to having you on for a much longer period one day when you have a chance to join us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. PJ Hamill, who's author of Breast Cancer Survivor, 410-319-8888 is the number here. I'd love to have you join us in this program with your thoughts and questions. I know many of you have been affected by breast cancer, men, women, whole families. When you wrestle with this, some of you are survivors. Some of you have lost people that you care about. Some of you are on the, really confused about what all this means, and I must say that as much as I try to stay on top of the world, I am too. Anthony McCarthy is with us, host of The Anthony McCarthy Show, who joins me as my co-host every Monday here. We're joined in studio by Dr. Jean Warner, who is director of the Tiana O'Brien Center for Women's Imaging at Mercy Medical Center, and Dr. Naji Khoury, who is director of breast imaging at Johns Hopkins Hospital. 410-319-8888 is the number. We'll take your calls as they come in. So, well, I guess my confusion, Anthony, maybe you look at you were a bit confused as well.
Most definitely. I think that what PJ said is very touching, but I think that when I read about the guidelines, when I read about the controversy, I think for bottom line, for those of us, Mark, we've been interviewing breast cancer survivors all of last month, and we were very involved in that. My question was, every individual story I hear, they talk about that personal relationship with their doctor. They talk about their family relationships, the history of breast cancer in their families. I'm not sure why so much controversy over the recommendations. These are guidelines. I guess I was confused about when we start talking about 20% of women will die. I'm not sure if that is the actual outcome that we should be promoting as much as know your body, talk to your doctors, know what's happening. If you're in that high risk category, I think that I'm not sure how the debate got so quickly, not debate, controversy got so quickly derailed, where now we have breast cancer organizations going at each other over these guidelines.
You want to start with Jean, then we'll go to Naji, then we'll go to the phones.
Well, I think some of the controversy, I think part of what upsets us as radiologists is that we feel strongly that there have been studies that have proven a benefit from this screening test. And it seems like part of the argument in the task force recommendations is that there are so many harms from mammography versus benefits.
False positives.
Correct.
And so it's that whole discussion of what are the harms of mammography, which I choose to call the limitations of mammography. I don't like to say that I'm harming, although you could, you know, conceive it that way. But there are anyone who does mammography every day knows firsthand the limitations of this exam. False positives, biopsies of lesions that are not cancer, and putting a woman through the anxiety of wondering, do I have breast cancer
for that? And the procedure.
Procedures may have complications. Some biopsies lead to surgery, even surgical biopsies that are not for cancer, but they may find a high risk lesion that's considered a pre-malignant cancer. Then we worry about the overdiagnosis issue of finding lesions that may not necessarily end up being lethal to a woman. But in my experience as a physician with women going through this, I find that they are not overly, I don't want to say not overly concerned, but most women are willing to go through these things in order to find out whether or not they have breast cancer, because that in and of itself is a very anxiety-provoking thought, you know, and not knowing if you have anything wrong can cause a lot of anxiety as well. And I think that we should put our efforts in trying to make what we do better in many ways, rather than just giving up on what we have, you know, and saying that it's a bad thing because it has limitations.
So I have a question to come back, but let me, Nancy Corey, and then I'm going to get to the phones.
Well, I was just going to point out something that Gina alluded to a little bit is most of these studies were done in the 60s and the 70s with what we consider today to be primitive mammography. Mm-hmm. The current technology is so far superior. That's one aspect. Second, the radiologists have become specialists, breast imagers, who have learned over the years to appreciate the most subtle manifestations of breast cancer. So the playing field is totally different today. But even we agreed to look at the old data, and how we analyze it is where there is a lot of differences in opinion. I think we should touch a little bit on what PJ said about the 80% benefit. She was talking about what difference does it make to recommend mammography every other year versus every year. The task force said it's the same. Well, to get 80% of the benefit is not enough for a woman. And so ask her what she thinks about that. Now, can we reduce the frequency of mammographic recommendations? Probably yes, but probably at a later age. And that's a personal opinion. At a later age, but certainly I would want women in their 50s and certainly in their 60s to continue on an annual basis based on my experience of what I see and how often I see breast cancer develop de novo all within a year.
Let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888. And I know I have a ton of questions from just for the two of you just said, because it's still there's a lot of unanswered questions in terms of what our approach should be to all this. 410-319-8888. Derek in West Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon to all of you. I'm in agreement with the mammogram test happening at age of 40. At 44, my wife, through mammogram, there was a mass noticed in her breast, and the doctors were able to keep track of it. At 48, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, but she just celebrated her 50th birthday in grand style as a result of early detection. And so that's one reason. The second is I'd like for the doctors to speak to food and cancer. There's been a lot of discussion regarding that, and I'm wondering if that may play a role in causing more cancer in persons and in women, possibly breast cancer. And this is just a side note. I'd like for doctors and hospitals to please take a closer look at how they that they have cancer. My wife and many other women that I know were told by telephone, as opposed to calling them into the office, that they had breast cancer. I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
I'll try to find another doctor if that happened to us.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mark.
So you want to grab that question first?
I'll address the.
Well, I do speak to patients over the phone, I'm guilty of that just because of time limitations. But we do offer to women, if they prefer to come in to discuss the diagnosis, that possibility. Most women I've dealt with have been okay with taking that information over the phone. And to be honest, when I'm doing a biopsy, I pretty much guess in my mind whether or not I think it's going to be cancer, and I try and prepare the woman when I think it's going to be cancer at the time that I'm doing the biopsy, so that she sort of is expecting that diagnosis. So I've had some one-on-one time with her before telling her over the phone.
I have the same approach we gauge whether the woman is likely to handle the news and be able to move on. We offer her to come in if she'd like to discuss the results, and we tell her we think that, you know, we're likely to give that kind of news. So she is prepared, and the phone conversation is not, oh, you have breast cancer, goodbye, call your doctor or whatever. Right. It's a conversation where you really feel close to the patient even though you are on the phone.
Unless I'm missing something, and I may be because I try to listen carefully, but unless I'm missing something, that even though the task force came back recommending that it was not necessary for women in their 40s to have yearly mammograms. Mm-hmm. I'm getting the sense from the two of you that while you accept the recommendations, you don't accept the policy.
I don't think I accept the recommendations.
Okay.
Me neither. Okay, I don't accept the recommendations.
So the question is, the question is that for me becomes also that some people argue, wait a minute, when you look at the statistics, is the battle part of this battle over money? Is part of the battle over A, and I said this a little bit to Nasha Khoury before you came in, Gene mm-hmm. Warner, before the conversation started, before Anthony was being interviewed outside. He'll be on Fox 45 later. is that on the one hand, insurance companies are reluctant to pay for procedures. So the less they have to pay, the better they feel often, which is part of the battle we're having on Capitol Hill now around mm-hmm. healthcare. But B, there are people who would say, but on the other side, whether it's in the mammograms themselves or the biopsies or the surgical biopsies we have to have, there's also money to be made there. And the battle, sometimes people feel this is more about money, either making money, not making money, paying for procedures or not paying for procedures, rather than what's best for patients. I wonder if you both could weigh in on that for a moment.
I don't think that money is an issue here at all. It's more right now with regards to the guidelines. I really think it's a question of interpreting the data. And if you go back to the first study that was published, there was from the very beginning a group of people said mammography decreases mortality through early detection and treatment, of course. And another group who said, no, we don't believe this data. And these same people are still around, and they take these positions. So I look at it a little bit like accountants. They can look at a set of a financial statement, and they say, this company makes money, and the other one, I'm being a little bit simplistic here, and the other one, the same number, and they say, this company is losing money. So I think now it's an invitation to revisit the whole issue, and there are political forces in there. That are playing their role, but I don't think it's a financial issue for the insurance companies or for the hospitals in terms of making more money. I don't think that's been at all.
Gene, do you want to weigh in or just let that one go?
Well, I would agree that, I mean, especially from the hospital standpoint and from my standpoint, I'm not doing these procedures to make more and more money. I'm not a physician that's paid, you know, I'm paid by a salary. I'm doing this to take care of the women who come to me wanting to be screened or who come to me that have some kind of issue. And I do think Najee's right that this is just a reanalysis, reinterpretation of data, and this discussion has been going on for decades, really.
See, and my fear, though, in all this is that, and this is nothing you can really comment on too deeply because nobody really knows, but in his conjecture, it may be slightly different from what you were saying, Dr. Nasha Khoury, but I would not be surprised over the next several months if you see more and more health insurance companies saying, because of this new data,
yeah,
we're not going to pay for yearly mammograms for women in their 40s. I'll predict that that's going to happen in a huge amount of cases with many, many companies. That's going to be the people start drawing back until another controversy hits where the numbers begin to go up in the next 10 years, whenever another study. That's my fear of all this, that this is, you know, one of the reasons that my fiance is still around is because she had that mammogram, and Dr. Moreau, who was then at Maryland, did an incredible job as a radiologist, found it, and I was able to witness the biopsy when she had it, which I was with her. And I didn't realize what she had gone through until I saw what a biopsy is. And I mean, it's a huge thing. So I mean, I'm sorry. You're going to say something, Gene?
Well, I was going to say that the insurance part of the equation is a concern. I read on the Society or American College of OBGYN, their statement in response to the guidelines from the task force mentioned that some insurance companies use these specific guidelines, task force recommendations, in order to determine if payment will be covered. And it has to have an A or B class recommendation. And this does not. And so, I mean, I wasn't even aware of that until I read that, but I guess it is possible that there could be certain insurance plans that have already decided to not cover mammography based on this. But, you know, the American College of Radiology issued a response to these guidelines, as well as a response to Secretary Sebelius's comments after the task force recommendations, and basically said to her that we think you need to consider asking the task force to rescind these recommendations. So, you know, I think there is a concern that women have that the insurance companies will use this to not pay.
410-319-8888 is the number here. To join us in the conversation, we'd love to hear from many women out there who have to go through these procedures. Yeah, it affects men, but doesn't affect men on the scale that affects women, obviously. And to hear your thoughts about what your concerns are when you heard these recommendations, what your own experiences have been. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Robert in Baltimore, you're on the air. Hi, Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, you doing? I wanted to mention the former city councilwoman, Bea Gaddy, who died maybe 4 or 5 years ago from breast cancer. And the thing that she said at her funeral was that she wished she had known about the test for breast cancer, and how most of the elected officials promised that they would bring awareness to it. So I really don't think it matters what side you're on, but I think that awareness is really important. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we want to remember Bea Gaddy, who died of breast cancer. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a very short break and come back to continue this conversation with our guests. Reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by University of Maryland Women's Health for every stage of a woman's life, offering a compassionate care and comprehensive obstetric and gynecological services from routine exams to specialized pelvic surgery. More information is available at 1-800-492-5538 or www.umm.edu/womencenter. We'll be right back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Stop by one of its 7 branches or go to mecu.com for more information. In the studio with Anthony McCarthy and I are Dr. Gene Warner, who is director of the Tiana O'Brien Center for Women's Imaging at Mercy Medical Center, and Dr. Najee Khoury, who is director of the Breast Imaging at Johns Hopkins University Hospital. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. We want to hear from as many women as we can in the course of this hour about your questions about what this report is saying, about what you should do for your own health, and what all this controversy and confusion is about when it comes to mammograms and self-examinations, which we'll talk about, and breast cancer. 410-319-8888. And during the break, Anthony, you raised a question to Dr. Warner and Dr. Khoury. Would you do that again?
I think that, Mark, a lot of black women that I talk to, because as we try to educate women on breast cancer and we talk about early detection, I guess my fear and my question mark around these guidelines are, if there is already a great deal of reluctance, and I think we would probably be honest if we would say that the majority of women in this country already wait beyond what I would consider to be a good and reasonable time to begin getting mammograms and to do self-exams, because they don't want to know. In the black community, when I talk to black women, and I'm sure it's the same across the board, actually, there's an enormous amount of fear. My fear with these guidelines is that it's going to feed, Mark, that reluctance, that black women are going to say, you know what, listen at all this controversy. They're saying I should wait till I'm 50 to have the annual mammogram, and, you know, maybe I should have it every other year. But it's going to feed that fear, and women are not going to get checked the way they should, at the frequency they should, and we're going to lose more women. Already, we have women that came on your show, Mark, and my show, who said that they waited when they felt a lump, and then the lump became a lemon-sized malignancy in their breast because they were afraid to find out what was going on.
Right.
And if you can't trust the government and the people who are writing these guidelines, to be clear, I mean, where in the world can these women go who are just racked with fear?
I think unquestionably these new guidelines are confusing women and will have a negative effect. And that's why everybody is trying to put a stop and say, let's not change what we're doing. If we need to analyze the data, let's do that. That's a really serious concern. So if I may touch on what we were talking about, there are two issues we're talking about. One, the facts. And we are concerned about the way they have been stated in the recommendation of the task force because it's a different interpretation of the data. So that's a separate issue. But if we look at another issue, you're talking about the recommendations and insurance companies and so on, then there are, what is it that we support that the point that mammography in women in their 40s and in their 50s applied every year is the right way to go. Then the question is, what does society want? And what is society willing to pay for? And what can we afford? If you look at the mammography in the rest of the world, where it is in most countries in the world, except in the U.S., it is paid by the government. And the government in England, for example, has agreed that they had a limit as to what benefits they would provide, and they've decided based on that to provide as of the age of 50 and every 3 years. That has consequences. And so we want something different. It has also its own set of consequences from the point of view of costs and other negatives that have been mentioned.
Jean Warner?
I would just like to say to your question about the fear that women have about finding out a cancer diagnosis, breast cancer, I try with my patients to alleviate that fear a little bit by explaining to them that this is one of the most treatable cancers that we have. Some skin cancers are a little easier to treat, like basal cell carcinoma of the skin, but breast cancer really has effective treatments. And when detected earlier, we think those treatments can be less aggressive and more effective. So as scary as a diagnosis of breast cancer may be, it is not as scary as some cancer diagnoses out there. And a woman can go on and live a normal life expectancy with this diagnosis. And it's better to know than to not know and to let something, you know, not be taken care of and grow to a point where it can't be treated.
What about the arguments being made by the task force and others that the part of the problem with frequent mammograms is the false positives? That yes, I heard someone, a woman on Michelle Martin's show, tell me more that I say, look, just the reality is that, you know, I've had these biopsies and they were not necessary, and I have women I've had my history of just lumpy breasts, and we just have to fact that's what we have, and so it makes it very hard for us every time we have these diagnoses that there's the argument there's too many procedures going on because of what we think is early detection.
Well, I think we know that mammography is not a perfect test. I've said it before, and there are false positives, and the way that we can eliminate that is to get better technology and to someday come up with a different screening method for breast cancer and ways of detecting and understanding the biology of breast cancer better so that we know which cancers truly need to be treated and which ones do not. I mean, as it is right now, the false positives are not going to go away at this point. We can try and lessen them as much as we can. But this is when the discussion with your physicians, your primary care doctor, as well as your radiologists come into play, and that these issues have to be explained and a woman has to make a decision. I've never forced a woman to get a biopsy. I have only recommended to her and her doctor.
That's an interesting point of view. I mean, what you said about never force.
I have never forced a woman to get a screening mammogram. Every time a woman decides to be screened, it's a decision that she's making along with her doctor's recommendation to undergo that test.
Nancy Corey?
When we look at, what we're talking about, mammographic screening is supposed to be an inexpensive test that is widely applicable to the entire population. We actually realize that breast care requires a lot more sophistication, better technology, better use of technology, not indiscriminate use of technology, and better specialists who know when to do something and when not to do something. And I think that's one of the messages for women, is that they should seek specialized care rather than just going to a general doctor who does a little bit of breast, a little bit of bone, a little bit of skin, and a little bit of abdominal surgery. I don't think that's the best thing for women. And we can be a lot more precise and have less dissatisfaction in this regard.
410-319-8888 is number here. I'd like to see what you think about these new guidelines on mammograms and what they say to you, what you intend to do. I mean, do you get a regular yearly checkup? If not, why not? How has this affected your life? What has happened with your mammograms? And what do you want the powers to be to hear when it comes to studies like this? 410-319-8888 is the number here. Anthony McCarthy in the studio with me, as usual, every Monday. We're joined by Dr. Naji Khoury, Director of Breast Imaging at Johns Hopkins Hospital, and Dr. Gene Warner, Director of the Tiana O'Brien Center for Women's Imaging at Mercy Medical Center. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Anthony?
Mark, I just got a text message from a young lady who asked the question, and I just want to get your response. She said, is this a question of specialists needing more patients? Because you teach us to do self-examinations. If I don't feel any change, why should I in my 40s have annual mammograms?
Because a mammogram may detect a cancer that is there that cannot be felt on clinical breast examination or self-breast examination. That's the whole point of mammography.
Of a mammogram, that's right, and that deep tissue screening.
Right, we're able to see things before they become clinically evident on exam.
So are they, in England, where you're saying that the guidelines are once every 3 years, over age 50. Are there studies that show that the rate of deaths from cancer are greater than here?
It's very difficult to compare data, but there are two things that I'd like to comment on. One, there have been studies comparing the average size of a cancer discovered in a mammographic setting where the mammogram is done every 2 years versus every year. And the difference in the size is in the order of 30%. Bigger. Does that mean? Well, that means that there will be some of them who will have positive nodes and some of them who will have more advanced nodes. Will some of them be saved still? Yes, absolutely. The other point is that there is something that we call interval cancers. So when you have a mammogram on day one and have another mammogram a year later, about 7% of the cancers discovered during that year will be what's called interval cancer. They had their mammogram, and then they developed something that they felt. Well, in one of the countries that I visited in Europe a few years ago, their interval cancer was in the order of 25%. That may be socially unacceptable in the U.S., that we would not want that 25% of the cancers be caught because a woman felt something. We would want to catch it well before they feel those. So these are two comments related to that issue.
So where does this end up, do you think? I mean, you look like you're about to say something, Anthony.
No, I just think that is really striking, that statistic. And I think that's why, I guess, the frustration around, even as Secretary Sebelius tried to clean up her initial remarks regarding the task force guidelines, and really saying, almost to the point where we're saying, you know, these are just guidelines. And, you know, I'm not sure if we need to get so worked up. But if we really, the bottom line is, how many lives can we save? How many women will we lose? How many breast cancer patients will we lose if we don't come up with some clear way to communicate the risk to women? And I think the government is failing in such a huge regard over the last month and a half in this regard. I just think that they're failing miserably. And I'm not sure how you get a handle on it. If Mark Steiner and I can't figure it all
confusing.
Out, then
because we read these things, study these things all the time, and think this is hugely confusing. I mean, when the Annals of Internal Medicine agrees, and every 2 years there should be an exam, and that's what they're saying. And that they also say that doctors should stop having women do self-examinations. I mean, this is counterintuitive to everything that we've heard before.
I think that's a major disservice to discourage breast self-examination. First, I don't say breast self-examination because we're not making a woman a doctor. But we just want her to be familiar with the way her breasts are and not be reluctant in feeling her breasts just if she notices something. I think discouraging them from doing it is against taking good care of yourself. You want her to look at her skin, if she has a new mole or something that has developed. So I don't support that. I encourage women to take charge and be familiar with the way their breasts feel and look, and just point some differences, if there is a difference, to their doctor and let them worry about that.
I agree, and I think the reason that the recommendation was made to not do breast self-examination is that there's been no study proving that it has an effect on decreasing mortality. And we clearly know that breast self-examination results in a lot of false positives, many more, I think, than mammography, although I don't know specific statistics. But it just goes against common sense as a woman to think that you shouldn't be aware of your body and any changes that might be going on in your body. And if you have a change in your breast, to report that change to your doctor.
Again, I'd try to cut through some of the confusion. And again, I mean, I think it was in 2007, the American College of Physicians recommended yearly mammograms because they reduce the risk of dying from cancer. And then we have the study coming today. And I would love to get to the bottom of what we think is the reason why there's so many variations in recommendations to citizens about what to do about their lives here.
Well, they did not deny that mammography benefited women in their 40s. We know that it lowers mortality through early detection. So that's a fact. The question is, does it have more drawbacks, more serious drawback? I would let a woman decide that. The second point that I did not like in the recommendations is say, discuss with your doctors about your risk factors. Well, 80%, 75% of women who develop breast cancer have absolutely, like Jean said earlier, no risk factor whatsoever, except being a woman and entering the age group where breast cancer starts becoming more common. So I don't think there's any much point in discussing risk factors unless a woman is at significantly higher risk, and then they may need to do other than just mammography.
And I would make the point that there's been studies in the literature looking at what happens when a woman goes to the doctor. Is an adequate history being taken? Is her risk level being reassessed every year when she goes to the doctor? And it's not happening in the studies. And part of that is just that doctors, primary care doctors, don't have the time to do this. I mean, their time is being taken away from them, trying to see more and more patients as well. And so it takes time to ask a woman, have any new members of your family been diagnosed in breast cancer since the last year? And do we need to change our recommendations at all in your case?
So Dr. Warner and Dr. Curry, how do we begin to make some sense of this? I mean, these stories are going to continue to appear over the next couple of weeks, and this confusion is going to continue to grow. What would you recommend, not just on a real professional level, but on a personal level? What would you recommend? How can we begin to move to cut through some of this confusion for women in this country?
Well, we've made a recommendation as the breast imaging group and at Hopkins for women not to change what they're doing. And let this filter through, be analyzed, let all the forces in play enter and decide whether there is any reason to pursue that. So we feel strongly about that. And Secretary Sebelius made a very strong and very carefully worded statement that basically said the same, that we're not changing anything, and let's look at what what happens after further analysis.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Anthony McCarthy and I and our guests, Dr. Gene Warner and Dr. Naji Khoury, talking about the latest controversy, the latest recommendations about mammography and breast cancer. 410-319-8888. We have a listener wrote in and asked, as a nation, we are spending nearly $1 out of $5 on health care. And for millions of uninsured, it's a dreadful situation where they must decide where to spend their limited resources. That is why this type of research is so important. It's very important to know when one is spending precious dollars on services that are scientifically shown to have no value. More information always leads to clear decisions and a better allocation of resources. Now, I think that's going to be the common wisdom.
Well, this is just a reanalysis of the data, looking at it from a public health standpoint. And we, as a country and as a society, will have to look at this and decide where we stand on this issue. I disagree with the comment that this analysis has shown that there is no benefit, because that's not what they're saying. They're just saying the benefit is different in different age groups. And I think we do need to look at the fact that they, as Dr. Khoury mentioned earlier, they're looking at studies that were done in a completely different way from the way we practice mammography now.
What do you mean by that?
I mean the studies were done decades ago.
The technology
of mammography is different. The training of mammography specialists is different. And I would reemphasize to tell women that it matters where you go for your mammogram. That can make a big difference.
It's very frustrating. I mean, it makes me wonder why this study received such...
Wow.
I mean, in a time where we're debating healthcare costs, this is when the study comes out. Mm-hmm. And the study received so much attention. And really the way the study was presented to the media, that it seemed to say, we don't need to have these breast exams for women in their 40s. I mean, that's the public perception coming out of this discussion in the media.
Well, so we definitely disagree with the task force regarding the facts about the benefit. And what was very interesting is one of the members of the task force was on NPR 2 days after the papers were released. And the comments that they were making was that in women in their 40s, we're only recommending that they discuss their risks. We're not saying not to have mammograms. I was stunned when I was listening to that.
Let's go to the phones again, 410-319-8888. And Donna, you're on the air.
I just wanted to comment in reference to the fact that I had my older sister who was diagnosed in between mammograms, and she was actually diagnosed as a result of her finding a lump, her own lump, and she ultimately passed from the cancer. I had three cousins who were also diagnosed with breast cancer, and two out of three of them found their lumps between mammograms. So, I just wanted to comment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the majority of women are terrified of the fact that we may have to pay for mammograms if, you know, what is being proposed actually goes into effect.
Don, that's what I was about to ask you about. What women in your circle of friends are actually talking about with it when they hear these reports?
We're angry because we don't know who the people are on this panel who makes the decisions that affect us so profusely. And I don't know if these people have ever experienced watching a woman who's been diagnosed, and when she feels like, if I had done something sooner, you'll never know. But the fact that we can have security in once a year mammograms for those of us who are over 50, and for not for some experts, and I put experts in quotes, to come up with the thought that we can stop our breast exams and we don't need to have mammograms annually. I mean, it's asinine. I just wanted to comment.
But you all aren't questioning the qualifications of these task force members, are you?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I mean, I think that they just come from different fields than we come from.
I question the motivation of the timing and why it's out now and how the press has handled it. 410-319-8888. Lisa, you're on the air. Hi, Lisa. You're on the air. Can we get Lisa on the air? Lisa, you there?
At that particular point, I was discovered that I had a lump and subsequent lumpectomy. No one else in my family had ever had any sort of findings like this before. So when the findings came out, I was pretty outraged, because had it not been for just me knowing that at 40 to have a mammogram, I don't know what would have happened. And I wanted to know, considering that minority women have a huge disparity in care with this, did the study even consider minority women in this?
That's a great question.
Was there any distinction made about?
No.
No.
Actually, all of those studies were a review of the studies available, and then they developed an arithmetic model to extrapolate their conclusions.
And as you said, a lot of these studies were based on studies that happened 30, 40 years ago, when the procedures were not as adequate as they are today. 410-319-8888. Pearl, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just listening to this because this is very interesting. And, you know, it is a great concern, but I do understand what is said about how the study came out and how it was compared to over 20 years ago. And mm-hmm. we have come in great strides. What I need to know is the comment was made of it matters where you go to get the mammogram. And I do believe that. Where do you go? Because I know of some people where they showed something in one place and then they had to change for location
right.
or whatever.
I'm sorry, we only have about 30 seconds left, Pearl, so let Gene Warner take it. No, that's right. Gene?
Well, we have the Mammography Quality Standard Act of Congress, which every mammography facility has to be accredited to perform mammography. So that's one thing that you can look at, is that the facility is ACR accredited. But I would also recommend that women who are really interested seek out a location where the people interpreting their studies are dedicated breast imagers. And that's all they do. That's all I do.
I want to thank both of you for being here. It's been great. You've enlightened us a great deal. Dr. Gene Warner from Mercy Medical Center and Dr. Naji Khoury from Johns Hopkins Hospital. Great to have you both with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Anthony McCarthy, for once again ably co-hosting and helping us get through this hour.
Important issue, Mark.
It is. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producer is Justin Levy. We're engineered today by Zachary Coleman. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, and Gay Pinder. Theme music by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again and podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.